All right, so welcome everyone. Thanks for joining today's workshop. I'm Olivia from Simplero, and today we're gonna be going over communicating with your audience. All right, so I'm gonna go ahead and get started. And then at the end, we should have some time for questions. All right, so the first thing I want to go over today is email templates or email designs. If you go to settings right here in the top right, you'll find email designs right here under marketing. Now you can see here on this test account that I've got many different email templates or email designs that I can use. The first thing I want to make clear to everyone is you don't need to have this many email designs. You can, but it's not necessarily required. You can have just one that you use for everything. A lot of use cases I've seen for different email designs have been maybe you want a different design for a different list that you're sending broadcasts to, and those various types of things. But again, you can have many, you can have one, you can have two. And let's go over here. So first of all, if you want to create a new design, you'll find that link, that button in the top right corner. Again, that's under settings, email designs. So if we go to add a new design, we're gonna get to this screen here. We have two default templates that you can build your template or your email design off of, simple and plain. The big difference between simple and plain is that simple has distinct margins on the side. So it's more compact and in my opinion, a little cleaner looking. But then we also have plain, which doesn't have those margins. So it spreads out wider on the screen. Okay, so I'm gonna go with simple this time around. Also, we do have this option to make your own. If you know HTML code or you hire someone that knows HTML code, you can create your own email design from scratch. So I'm gonna go in for simple right now. You can name your template. If you decide you wanna go to plain later on, you can do that here. You can include a header image. We always give you the recommended pixels for all image, all places you can add an image in Simplero. So for this, it'll be 600 pixels wide, and that will appear at the top of the email design. You can also include a link, an image link of your header, if you like, that can go to anywhere you want. Then under body text, we have the following options, fonts. You'll notice here that there aren't many fonts for you to choose from. We've got a good amount, but there is a reason for this. The reason is that these fonts are the tried and true fonts that will work for all email providers. There are some fonts out there, many fonts out there that may not be compatible with a certain email provider, and it'll look a little funky when it comes in, which is why we give you these limited amount of fonts, because we know that all these fonts will work for all the email providers. You can choose your size of your font, your line height, text color, link color, and then your footer colors. And also you can choose to include social sharing links. That's these here. What this means is social sharing links, they can share the email. So if you want people to be able to share, you can include that here. If not, just go ahead and uncheck that box. If you know CSS code and you want to add some things to your email design using CSS code, you can add that code here. And then you can always preview what it will look like in the browser view using this button here. You can also save the changes and come back at any time to edit. All right, so here this is, we have the legal footer right here, which is not editable, not really, but if you don't, for example, want your address or anything in this legal footer, it is pulled from settings, account settings. This is also the information provided in your website footers as well if you're using our default footer. So if you want to remove that, you can come in here and remove that information as well. We also give you the option. This is this right here, this dummy footer. This won't show up like you see here, or it'll show here, but what that is comes from the list you're sending to itself. So if you go to contacts and you go to your list, you can create a customized footer for each individual list. So if you'd like to do that, you can come to your list configure tab. And in the advanced settings, we have this option to add text to the footer in your emails. This will be your customized footer. And again, this is per list. So you can add an image here, a signature, some links, anything you want to be included in broadcast sent to this specific list. You also have the option to add a prefix. So this will, whatever you put here, will show before the subject of each email sent to this list as well. Okay, before I move on, do we have any questions about what I've just gone over? Anything I need to clarify? Okay, all right, let's get back into this screen share. And we'll move on to broadcasts. So marketing, email broadcasts. Email broadcasts are great when you want to send one-off emails, but you don't intend to send the same email again. Obviously, that's not the only use case. I'll show you how you can duplicate broadcasts and use them again. And you can also schedule broadcasts to be sent in the future. But generally, they are used for one-off emails. So here, if we go to create a new broadcast in the top right corner, you'll see that the first option that comes up is to choose which template you want to use or which email design you want to use. I'm going to go ahead and use this one here. So you'll put your subject in, your body text in. We'll just throw that in here. Then you come to the recipients option. So you can send to list subscribers. So maybe I just want to send to this list, but I can also send to all of my lists or some of my lists. So it depends on who you want to send to. But you can choose that here. Obviously, there's a lot of different options, specific contacts, if you want to send one email to one contact or just a few contacts, tagged contacts, segmented contact, participants of a product, people who purchased a product, event participants, the list goes on. Once you have chosen your recipients and the include group, you can also add an exclude group. So I want to include everyone on my main newsletter list. I'll save those changes. Maybe that's it. Maybe you're done. Just everyone on your main newsletter list. However, you can also add an exclude group. So say I'm sending to my main newsletter list, my home list, where hopefully all of my contacts are. But then I don't want to include anyone who's currently participating on this product. So a good use case for that is say you're promoting this product, but some people on your main newsletter list have already purchased it. In this case, I want to go ahead and exclude those participants because they've already purchased, so I don't need to spam them with emails promoting something they've already purchased, right? Once you have an include group and maybe an exclude group, you can click next, and it will show you what that email will look like. You're also welcome to send a preview email to yourself, and then the options here, when should we send it? You can send it immediately, or you can schedule it to be delivered at a later date. And this is really helpful if you're just planning to send some emails at different dates. So you can schedule as many as you want. Once you're done, let's say I send this tomorrow at 8 a.m. Then I can queue it. It's going to ask you again to make sure. So either save as a draft, I want to come back, maybe work on it later, send now, or send later. And it's going to use what I put there. Queue for delivery later. So now in your email broadcast, you'll see all of your delivered emails, all of your delivered broadcasts, and all of your queued broadcasts, and all of your draft broadcasts. So in the queued, you'll see anything that you have scheduled for a later date. All right. The next way you can communicate with your audience is through newsletters. Newsletters are great if you want to set up a schedule of emails that go out at the same time every week or the same time every month. So for example, if I want to create a new newsletter schedule, I can choose what this schedule is: daily, weekly, on certain days, or monthly on a specific day of the month or a specific day of the week, and then repeat X amount of months, X amount of weeks, or X amount of days. And then you can use this to begin when this schedule starts. The sender name, sender email, reply to, same as a broadcast, this pulls from your basic account settings. So again, settings, account settings. We scroll down here. This is your default sender name, sender email, and reply to email. But most of the basic account settings can be overridden different places in Simplero, including a broadcast or a newsletter. So if I want to change that for any reason, the sender name of this specific newsletter schedule, sender email, or reply to, I can do that here. It's going to ask you again which template you want to use. Then you can choose your subject line. You can edit it for each individual newsletter. You create the body of that newsletter here. And then also there's reminders. So say you have a newsletter schedule that's going out every week or every month. If you don't have an email lined up for that next scheduled date, you can add an administrator of the account here to be reminded, hey, you haven't queued up a newsletter yet for your Thursday weekly newsletter blast. Okay, so you can set up those reminders here. And again, it can only be administrators of the account. So just in case you need to know where that is, under settings, administrators, this is where you can add administrators to the account and you can give them different roles depending on how much you want them to have access to. All right. And once you have set up all of these, you can click create newsletter. Once there, same exact interface as the broadcast, you're going to choose your recipients for this newsletter. You can add an exclude group or not. And then we'll click write newsletter. So again, same interface as writing a broadcast. You'll create your first newsletter that will go out on the first scheduled date. And then you can queue that newsletter. So this is going out tomorrow at 8:14 a.m. Unless I change it, and then I can continue to write new newsletters that will go out on my schedule that I've set up. Okay, so those are newsletters. Now, another way to communicate with your audience is to use autoresponses. And autoresponses can be found on either a list or a product. So they work the same way. I'll show you on a list and I'll show you on the product. But if you go to your list, under contacts. I can create auto responses, and there's a tab right here. Let me show you as well under sales products. If you've created a product, you will also see the same auto responses tab, and they work the exact same way. So here I am in my list. Ideally, autoresponses are created before anyone signs up for the product or before anyone subscribes to the list. So I highly recommend setting up autoresponders or autoresponses before you start sending out a signup form or start marketing a product. Because what these do is they will go out after a certain amount of days. So either 0 days after signup or 0 days after the product has been purchased. So 0 days means right away. And then you can create a schedule of emails to go out. So subject, how's it going? I want to send this out maybe 5 days after sign up. Sorry, my computer's being a little slow today. The autoresponses, when created for the first time, will always be in draft. You want to make sure that you toggle on active when you're ready to go. Again, same format here as newsletters and broadcasts. You write your body of your email here, and you can save those changes. And you can continue to go 0 days, 2 days, 5 days. And there's no limit to the amount of autoresponses you can create. So this is a great way to automate the emails going out to subscribers of a list or purchase of a product over a period of time. Now, the more advanced form of autoresponses is automations, marketing automations. Automations are not available on the starter plan, but they are available on the scale and skyrocket plans. Before I dive into automations, I want to talk about how you can create emails for your automations. So if we take a look at automations, let's say create a new automation. If you choose flexible, this just means that anyone can enter the automation. So if you wanted to enter someone manually into that automation later, you can, or you can connect it specifically to a list subscriber or a participant of a product. I'm going to recommend that you use flexible. So let's say this is the email sequence for new subscribers of X list. So here we are. This is what the automation page looks like before you've added anything. So an automation is started by a trigger, and a trigger says, when this happens, this happens. So you would set up a trigger that says, when someone subscribes to X list, they're going to start this automation. Now, again, automations are a more advanced form of an autoresponse because there's a lot more you can do in an automation. So let's say I'm going to add my trigger. I want it to be for a list, subscription activated for my newsletter list, and I'll click OK. As you can see here, with the triggers, you can add multiples, and you do have a lot more options. So if someone clicks a link in an email, you can start an automation. Someone joins a membership site, you can start an automation. Most of the time, they are connected to a list or a product, but you can have all of these options here to start. So for example, you create one for an event. When a registration is created for this event, I want to start this reminder sequence of emails, and it's going to be leading up to that event. So automations are made up of steps. Most of the time it's going to be send email, welcome, and we'll save those changes. So now we've got one email. You subscribe to this list, welcome. Then different from autoresponses, you don't have to add after 0 days. You have a lot of options. And these options are included in wait steps. So wait for a while. That could be 1 day, 1 week, 1 hour, or you can do a specific time. And then you can actually choose that date. I want this email to go out on the 9th of July at 8 a.m. And this is also useful when you, if you do a trigger based on a participant of a product. Okay, this purchase has been made. Here's the participant, but the course doesn't start maybe in for like 2 weeks. In that case, you could actually set reminders and give, you know, more information, any pre-work to the course you want people to have, all that sorts of stuff. And you can add the dates and lead up to that. So I can add more email steps. I can add more wait steps. A lot of other actions you can do here. You can add tags, which are personal identifiers through the product. You can have people subscribe to lists, purchase products, start different automations. And automations are also used for dripped courses. So I won't go over this too much, but essentially if you have an evergreen course that is dripped over a period of time, say one module a week or a lesson a day or something like that, automations are your bread and butter. You can give access to a course or course module. Let's find the course. We'll find the course module. And then I can say, wait 1 week or wait till this certain day. And then I can add that wait step and then add additional steps. So these are really great for email sequences. Automations are also perfect for dripping content to a course over a period of time. Now you can create the emails like I showed you here. Action, send an email, and you can create the emails right here on this pop-up. However, we also have an email library, which we're going to go over next. You can save an email you've created to the email library, so you can have it for use at a different time, or you can bypass this and just create the emails in an email library. And in this case, it's going to ask you which email from your library that you want to use. So if you're going to be creating similar automations or you want to be able to have emails that you can kind of tailor a bit and use again, that's going to be under marketing, emails for automations.
Hey, Olivia, I got a quick question.
Sure, go ahead.
When you're doing an automation and it can get pretty complex, You recommend writing it out on a whiteboard or a flip chart or, you know, because if you're doing multiple things, and if then this happens, and you're trying to keep track, and also, is it scoring the points? Are you getting points? Are the lead points showing up?
You can add steps to add lead points to a contact in an automation as well. They're not necessarily going to show up.
Okay.
That's a great question, George. I have spoken to members that have a separate document outside of Simplero that keeps track of those things. But if you are looking straight at the automation, you will be able to see which steps are going to be taken throughout that sequence. And if you're ever unsure of where a contact has been, I'll just show you briefly here. If I go to a contact record, and I scroll all the way down to the bottom, I'm going to see all the activities of this contact. And that includes any purchases they made, any emails they received, and any steps in the automation, if they've been in an automation here. So they've been through step 3, step 5. So you can actually see that. And even more on an automation itself. Let's see here. Oh, these are emails for automations. Sorry about that. Let's go back to, let's find an example automation here. So on the side, so first of all, when there are members going through an automation or contacts going through an automation, you're going to see which contacts are in each step. So a lot of the time, especially for a list subscription, there's no like specific dates. It's just on the time frame of what from the moment somebody subscribes to your list or purchases a product. Say that's just an ongoing product that people will go through at their own pace, or they're starting at different times. I mean, then you'll have like 1 week or 1 day or something, and you'll be able to see who is in each step at all times in the automation.
I was thinking about using something like Visio to try to do a flow chart of if it gets complex. Simple ones, that's one thing. You know, if this, then that. But if you start adding other components, it's sometimes easier to visualize visually rather than just a list.
I completely understand that. Yeah, that would be a great idea. And also, you know, something else I've seen as well is creating separate automation. So you can actually add action steps in an automation to start a different automation. So if you wanted to try and keep things separate, you can. It might be easier. I've seen a lot of very complex automations, and I have actually made the suggestion many times, oh, you know, this one is getting extremely complicated with a lot of conditions, like only send this email if this or has this tag. And it does get kind of complicated. So maybe in the automation, you could add a step that say, if has this tag, start a new automation, especially if it's going to be a lot of separate emails or something like that. Sometimes that can be easier. But yes, you can always see who's in the automation. And over here on the right side, I can see anybody who's completed or like here all. So I have two active contacts, and all of these contacts have already completed the automation on separate dates. And if I click on any contact in that list of the people in my automation, I can see every step that they went through here as well. And then we'll also show the next step and when they will be moving to the next step. All right. In your email library, I wanted to briefly, too many tabs. In your email library, you can also, you can reuse any of these emails, which is nice. So if you create them in your email library first, or if you save them to your media library or to your email library, then you will have the option to use them again. You can also duplicate, if you click this three dots button in the very top right corner, you can duplicate any of these and use them again. And to keep things organized, you can also see in any of your email library emails, which automations the email is used in. And this is really helpful if you've used the same email in a lot of different automations, you can see which ones it's being used in. Similarly to the email library, you can also duplicate any email broadcasts. So if I've sent this email broadcast and I want to maybe tweak it, use it again, send it as a broadcast, same thing, first I have to go into that broadcast, that would make more sense. And then I can duplicate it. Or if I've sent a broadcast and I want to save that to my email library for later use, I can do that here. And also, if you want to add it to a newsletter queue, we can add that to a newsletter as well. If I want to change the content of it a little bit, I can go back to this content and add or edit. And then I can queue it. And then that's going to be my next in the queue. So lots of ways to reuse emails, duplicate, edit, all sorts of fun stuff. Another way you can communicate, especially when you're talking about... something? Oh, of course. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Can you just show how you use a broadcast from the library? How do you put it into your automation?
Sure. So if you go to the automation, let's go to this one we just created. I'm going to add an action step that says send email. Now there's going to be the subject and the body right here, and you can create it right here. Or there's this link that says pick from emails for automations. This is going to switch here, and you can choose the email that you want to use right from here. And these are all the emails in my email library.
Oh yeah, sorry. You showed that before.
Oh, no worries. No worries. So another way to send especially one-off emails to your customers or to your members is from the all contacts view. Contacts. Say I want to send one email to, let's say myself. I've got many test contacts here. If I check this box next to the name, I can choose send quick email. And this actually just opens a little pop-up screen where I can create an email. In this case, the quick email is always going to use your default, your favorited email design. And you can create it right on this screen and send the email right away. You can also send it to multiples, but this can only be done from the all contacts view. And there's a lot of things you can do here from this dropdown, this action dropdown menu. You can manually enter someone or a group into an automation, give access to something. But in this case, we're talking about communicating with your audience. So there is that send a quick email. Now, you're also going to see that we have the option for text messages. So I can also send an SMS to anyone from here, but I can also use an automation for that as well. So if I go to my automation, I can add a step here to send a text message. So I can add my text here, save those changes. Oops. And then now I have a step in my automation to send a text. I'm going to grab a link here and post it in the chat. This is for the pricing. SMS is not included in your plan, but we do have a pricing sheet that you can refer to based on where you are and where you're sending to. All right. See, I'm just looking at my list here. I want to make sure. Okay. Oh, I missed something on automations, or not on automations, I'm sorry, on broadcasts. And then one other thing to talk about, and then I will open the floor to any questions you have. So on an email broadcast, if I go to delivered, I can see that 16.7% of the people I sent this broadcast to have opened it. So that's not super high. We want to make that higher. So you actually have this option here in the top right corner from a delivered broadcast to resend to people who didn't open the email yet. Also, who weren't on the list at the time you sent the email. So if you sent a broadcast to a list, then you get like 10, 15, 100 more subscribers. You want to send that email to them or that broadcast to them too. Weren't on the list at the time, didn't open the email, or maybe you want to send a broadcast to someone who didn't click any links but opened the email or clicked a link in the email. Or anybody who replied or did not reply. Most of the time I see this option used the most, didn't open the email. So you want to send it again to anyone who didn't open it. Now, the last thing I want to talk about is deliverability of your emails. If you go to settings, email settings right here under marketing, you're going to see that here is where you add your sender emails and here is where you'll add your sender domains. If you own the domain that you're sending from, like we send from simplero.com and that is our custom domain. So all of our emails come from simplero.com and that's also our website. you have a much higher chance of delivering to straight to an inbox rather than an alternative folder, like could be spam or junk, or maybe it's under promotions or just one of those, or updates, or one of those alternative email folders. So if you don't already, we highly, highly recommend that you purchase a domain that you can send from, because again, this will just improve your deliverability tenfold. And you also want to add your sender emails here. So anyone from Simplero has a simplero.com email domain. So if all of us are sending from one account, I'm going to add all of those emails, Olivia@simplero.com. Oh, because I didn't add. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. So sender domain, then you add the sender emails, but you also want to, then you need to go to your email. What this does is send an email to your email. It has a button that you can click, and you're just verifying that that email address is yours. The sender domain, and I'll shoot this guide in the chat as well. This is our walkthrough on how to configure your custom email domain. But if you have any trouble setting this up, just go ahead and send us a support ticket. We have a whole process lined out and we are happy to configure the domain for you. So yeah, if you get into any trouble or you need some assistance, just send a support ticket and let us know. All right.
Can I ask something again?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
I'm opening the floor to questions now.
Okay. I was thinking, when you have the sender email, is that different from when you send out, what do you call it? The bills? You know, when they purchase on their receipts.
Oh, that's a really good question. No, it's not actually. And let me share my screen again and show you what that looks like. So if you go to settings, product, you're going to scroll down and, not under notifications, receipt sender name and receipt sender email. So you choose here, ultimately any email that you are sending from needs to be added as a sender email and has a domain that is custom or has been configured, a custom domain. You can have as many custom domains like emails or URL domains on your account. It doesn't matter as long as they're configured and maybe you're using some to send to certain lists or certain products or different people. It doesn't matter as long as they are configured and verified. But you choose here where that comes from.
And that's, that's for the receipts. Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so again, that's under settings, product.
Okay, thank you.
Of course. All right, do we have any other questions? We've got some time here. I'm happy to answer any questions you guys have. No questions?
I was just going to say, as always, I come up with the questions after, you know, after we've been thinking about what you've shown us and when I go in and play with it. So.
Cool. Well, I hope all of you know, we do have a weekly Q&A. So on top of these workshops that we're running, we run the Q&As on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern. We may be adding another date, but I'm not sure about that yet. So if you have additional questions and you want to hop on a call with me, the Q&As are a great opportunity to ask those questions after the workshops. I'm going to actually grab a link where you can register for the Q&As as well. So that is here, dropping that in the chat. You can register for as many Q&As as you like. And if nobody has any other questions, I'm going to be hosting 8 more workshops over the next 8 weeks. I'll also be hosting these Q&As as well. So I hope to see some familiar names and faces in those upcoming workshops and Q&As. Thank you so much, everyone. I hope you have a great rest of your day, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are located. Thank you.